Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio show for the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction. And our topic for today is the accelerating the growth of women of color in construction and contracting. You're with your host, Karima Ali. Today is October 29th, 2008, and we are in the city of Stone Mountain, Georgia. Our main topic is the four major components necessary to start and grow businesses, and why it takes a sudden blow to your business to identify whether or not you need these requirements in order to be a part of a particular industry. And we take those very lightly, and those things that we take lightly are the human capital and social capital environments. I'd like to also mention today that we have a very, very enormous topic when it comes to social capital networks. We have a caller on. Caller from 770962.
Yeah, that's Nicole with Giovanna. Hey, Karima.
Hey, Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We were talking about the, and you know better than anyone about the networking that it takes in order to sustain a business. I guess you are one of the very key individuals that I know that has started and become very successful based on just generally networking and creating both your human capital networks and your social capital networks. So therefore, you're able to have a more sustainable type of business, and it also gives you an opportunity to have a more financial comfortable business as well when you have a base of people and resources to help you.
Exactly.
And I think when we first met, we talked about, I guess, candidly, the general contractor's license last year, and we said, well, this is not something that's going to affect me. And as we both have witnessed here in the Atlanta, Georgia area, it's affected not you together, but wholeheartedly, it will affect all of us. And so we jokingly talked about that, and we talked about, I guess, the lady that you met when you first got started, that she didn't want to share any information about the type of business that you wanted to get into, because she asked, why should she help you?
Mm-hmm.
And, and jokingly enough, she probably should have answered you, because I think you're one of her better competitors as well. Could you kind of enlighten some of the other callers on that, what some of your tactics was in terms of the the networks that you came from based on, you know, from CEFG. You created a base there. You created things with the city of Atlanta. You went and met with contractors, things of that nature. Do you mind sharing that?
Sure. No problem. I think the people that turned me down and the initial, actually was two ladies that I initially met when I was just at the beginning stage of almost 4 years ago. Actually, what they did and said motivated me to push even harder, to be honest with you. And what I did from there, I went to people who would talk to me and who would sit down and tell me what it took to be a viable business. And from there, did what they recommended, you know, going to pre-bid meetings, going to any expos, any conference seminars, just out there and getting your name out there, letting people see your face, even if you have to show up at the plan holders room every day for them to see your face. And I think that's a big part of it, for you to go to, you know, as many pre-bid meetings as you can, meet as many people who, not only the people who can give you a contract, but the people who work with the prime contractors and know what it takes, you know, what they're looking for from their contractors. So networking is definitely important because knowledge is money. I mean, knowledge is really everything. You may not see the immediate results from networking and from talking to people, but down the road you will see how that will pay off for you.
Okay, and this is one of the subjects that came aboard was the interesting enough, there was something in an article in November 16, 2007. It's No World Borders Human Capital Network. It revitalizes the workforce in the workplace. And interestingly enough, it says innovative web-based systems identifies networks of human capital around the world more quickly and economically for efficient workplace management. And so, therefore, they're able to, based on human capital and the networks that they have, they can quickly recruit and assign projects around the globe based on the individualized skills of individuals. And when you were networking with these folks at the different venues, when you brought your presentation to them, was it based on who you were as a business owner, or was it based on the fact that you had a better motivational drive to you know, talk to these contractors based on what the woman motivated you to do? You saw that when you started networking, your revenue started to increase.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely. To me, I would attribute it to just feeling comfortable with you. You know, it may be quite a few people out there who can perform a certain duty or handle a particular job, but when it comes down to it, you know, if you had two tickets to a ball game, you know, and you, who would you call? You're going to call somebody you feel more comfortable with. And I think that's part of it. You know, I approach people in a more relaxed way, not just, you know, give me a contract. Just getting to know them, letting them get to know me, letting them know, you know, what my goals are, that I can, you know, put in 150% with anything that they try to give me. I will give it my all. So I think... And also strategic alliances, too, have been very important to me.
And by mentioning strategic alliances, we have a caller in from the 330 area code. Caller from 330. Hello? Caller from the 330 703. Hello? Okay, this is a caller from Ohio. When you talk about strategic networks, I'm
hello?
Not sure that, yes, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now. I'm sorry.
Okay, very good. We got Mr. Lamont Porter on from Porter Cement in Akron, Ohio. And I'm glad Nicole was kind enough to introduce into, I guess, unknowingly to her about strategic alliances. And this is what, you know, to kind of you know, get into a little bit more of what she was talking about. I didn't mean to cut you off, Giovanna, but I wanted to make sure that we had this gentleman online because he has been instrumental to the coalition in getting us our footprint in the Ohio area. You can go ahead, and you said the strategic alliances that you created, Nicole, basically has given people a comfortable level with you. So when they contract with you, they know that they know your character. They know,
exactly.
They know that, you know, if you say you can do this regardless of what the challenges are, you buckle down and you do it. But when you do certain things, I mean, you have to have a conscious thought about who do I go to be able to expand my business. You know, what do you normally do to expand a business based on what you do for a living? And maybe you can kind of go over what you do in terms of your business is concerned.
I'm sorry, you're talking about me or the guy from Portland?
No,
the gentleman from Portland. Oh, okay. Not only do we do safety, we provide safety officers on a lot of the rehab projects, and right now we're in the airport also at a couple of the Conrad facilities and a lot of the rental facilities there. But we provide training, you know, all kind of safety training, 10-hour, 30-hour, health the health manuals also to your safety manuals. But also I ventured into public relations. I was just thinking before I called in to the station that I'm, you know, that saying jack of all trades and master of none.
Okay.
I don't think that's true because, to be honest with you, to keep your doors open, you have to be very diverse. And I do try to, you know, limit what I specialize in, but I try to not miss out on any opportunity, too, that's going to keep my business viable and growing. And so for us, that's where the strategic alliances come in, because the people I've met, for instance, I have a guy who raised manholes for me, and he and I met through a mentoring protege program. So he took my skills that I have, and we kind of mixed those together, and, I mean, we form a great team where contractors actually call us for jobs. We don't have to pursue jobs with him because they call us. So that's what I'm talking about forming relationships with people and trying to say, okay, you know, I may not be as strong in that area, but I know you are, so let's work together. And that's worked out well.
And we have also Robert Porter on from Porter Cement in Akron, Ohio. He's a second-generation contractor. Their business has been around for 40 years. And I'd like for him to kind of elaborate on when you have that kind of network, Mr. Porter, it's great when people call you to bid and they know the integrity of your company and they know the integrity of yourself as a business person and as a human being. They have a lot of respect for you. And I guess you guys have had a branded yourselves in Ohio as a minority woman-owned company as well. I guess it's your mom's company, and she passed it on to you all, to you, your brother.
Correct.
And your sisters. Can you kind of elaborate on what you guys do and what the networks that you guys have built? I mean, 40 years, I'm sure you have to gotten to know a few governors. It's a lifetime of work and wealth. If you don't mind to talk about what you guys do and about the networking that you all have going with the coalition and all that.
Yes, and Karima, I thank you for having me to the show. The young lady is right. These are the things that we lack up north. The partnership with the major prime contractor so that you can come up and be a prime contractor. That mentor protege program, it is just taking off in this area. We've had it around here, but it was a hit or a miss. In the south, you get a little more support. Minority-wise, I'm just going to be honest. But we're a women-owned company, and my parents have been in business for 40 years in the Akron area, and I've been with the company for 20 years. I made sure that when we branded this company, it would be something that you remember the logo because we spent the time into developing a logo. I mean, anything we touch, we're going to do the best. the work. We stand behind our floors as a super flat floor contractor, and we say that this is the best floor. Why? Because we take additives out of concrete that make it better. So in that is our niche. You know, my dad, I mean, I go and look at drivers that have been in 25 years. They still look the same. It's the craftsmanship sometimes. And you know, you have to be a jack of all trades. You start out doing driveways. Well, now you're in the excavation because you can't afford to have somebody tear the driveway out. Well, now you need to take that piece of equipment and go to East Ohio Gas and say, what do I got to do to dig, you know, do excavation for you? And sometimes you may not be able to carry that load. So it's good when you have a mentor protege program. You go and get that mentor and you say, hey, I got a project I'm looking at, and I can't afford the project, but I know if we partner on this, I can do the project. And that's what the mentor is looking for. A lot of times in the North, they're looking for a handout. Nothing's free. And so you're going to have to go and partner and make your mentor proud that he picked you up.
Well, you know what,
Mr.
Porter, it's not a Northern mentality. There's a, I think Nicole can profess to that. It's a mentality altogether. We have a lot of people who feel that just because they have a certification, that they should be able to get the work and get mad at qualified people who qualify themselves on projects. So these are the type of individuals that have not built any kind of networks in their field or outside of their field in order to alleviate any type of strain on them. We have a caller from 952 area code.
Yes, hello.
Hey, how are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Very good. You're calling from what state?
I'm calling from Minnesota.
Okay, welcome, Minnesota. Are you just calling in to listen in, or you had a comment about what Mr. Porter was talking about?
I actually missed his comment, but I would like to chime in at some point during the broadcast, but
okay,
I don't have
great.
Anything to comment on right now, but you can continue, and I might chime in later.
Okay, great. Caller from 404-484-4989. Caller from 404-484-4989. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Porter. Mr. Porter.
Okay, I'm here. Yes, I want to make sure that, you know, you're right. It is something that we deal with all over. But the main fact is the Mentor Protege Program. And the coalition has been instrumental in pushing that, because there's a lot of things like the OSHA classes that the young lady said that they offer. That is something that we lack as minorities, and now they're requiring it more and more and more. In the concrete industry, you have to have a ACI certification, and that certification costs $700-$800 sometimes. It lasts for 2 years, but if you don't have certified ACI contractors, you can't even bid the work.
Let me read something to you, interestingly. I mean, to cut you off, but this is from the Accelerating the Growth of Women Businesses of Color. It's called Hidden Biases, Hidden Barriers. One of the studies said that lack of knowledge and information sets them up for failure. Many women continue to market their products and services to corporations and agencies. Unfortunately, they are hampered because of their lack of information inside relationships. So a lot of people, as you just said, have discovered that there are all these different challenges that are coming up in our industry, and that's what me and Nicole was talking about earlier, right? When this general contractor's license hit the state of Georgia, it has crippled the minority programs in terms of being able to select individuals from a pool of contractors that have been typically historically used. And because of that lack of information that was not broad-based to the industry at large, because the law is very specific in Georgia about who can bid work and the structure in which that person can bid work. You know, as you said, like on the projects that you do at university hospitals in Cleveland, those, you know, we, Giovanna Constructors, have the has conceded to come aboard and design customized programs for the contractors that will help them be able to be qualified on projects. And so I think we had a conversation earlier today with the folks from the commission, and I think they didn't even understand that what we're trying to do is make contractors readily and available to be able to work with the prime contractors and to mentor those individuals. So when they hide this type of information up until the time that it's time to bid a project, you know, as one of the, as I just said before, based on the research here from the Center of Women Business for Women of Color, you know, when they hide information and we don't have information exchange, that is a parallel for a lot of people who, you know, get to the head of the table. I'm sure Nicole and you got and Mr. Porter, you've seen this. People think they've gotten a bid, they put in the numbers, but then when it's time to qualify your bid as a business, they overlook you. Am I correct on this?
Yes, you are.
Nicole, you understand that the requirements for the city of Atlanta is more stringent than any contractor. That, you know, the insurance requirements out there is just enormous. A lot of people bid those jobs and they use their certification to try to think they're going to be low bid, but they have to meet the insurance requirements, and that's been an obstacle too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, only because a lot of times I know, especially with these OSAP projects here at Hartsfield Atlanta Airport, and with that's through the city of Atlanta, they require you to have the same insurance as the prime contractor, which is crazy. To me, it really is. Even with the they do expect you to come to the table the same insurance. So yeah, that definitely has been a hindrance.
And you see that with the with your area in Ohio. What I'm trying to elay to everyone that's listening in and that's on our in our chat room, and I see a few people in here. The whole industry at a whole is under attack for the, I would say, lack of a better word, the folks who don't know better. And when they, you know, you waste a lot of time meeting, networking, but the information is not being placed properly in the hands of the people who are investing into their companies. No one ever has said in any of the meetings that I've been to that you must have at least an additional $7,000 or $10,000 markup in your bid in order to even qualify to be on the City of Atlanta's project. And a lot of people are not able to even write the underwriting for the City of Atlanta because of all the problems that they've had in the past. So, I mean, we're subject to a catch-22 on one level, but this is the reason why this talk show is so important. Is so important to individuals that are aboard and listening and trying to get information, but you have to take that information and put that into your business. We have a caller from 651-387.
Hi, my name is Lisa. I'm calling on behalf. Hello?
Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Wonderful.
I'm calling on behalf of the blueprinting project with Genoa. I'm trying to find out exactly how to do blueprints.
Okay.
For construction.
Okay. All right. And
so I want to know how exactly to read blueprints.
Okay. Mr. Porter, could you elaborate on that a little bit? Mr. Porter.
All right, hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Okay, almost lost you. From the Atlanta standpoint, I can't really lead her into the direction, but the direction you should go in first is you should go and look at the library and pull out some architectural books and then immediately try to find some blueprint reading classes. Some of your contracting associations will offer blueprint reading classes. Go to these people and say, I want to know how to read blueprints. If they don't, if they're not receptive, there's always a avenue to blueprint reading through your MCAP programs. There should be something there in your minority development areas. The Urban League should be able to get you information on classes for blueprint reading. So, you know, Urban League in Atlanta, Urban League in Ohio, we have to use these as our tools. If you want to find out something, go to them and say, hey, I need to find out this job to make sure that we as people of color and of any type of
ethnicity.
I guess I would want to say ethnicity. It doesn't matter. We should be able to go black, white, green, or purple to the Urban League and say, hey, I need to know this. So you should try that, and if you don't get anything, you should make sure you get back to Ms. Karima, and we will make sure you get the right information.
We have a caller in 17 Soul Child. 70 Soul Child.
Hello, how are you?
Wonderful.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Oh, good. Sorry, I wasn't sure if you could hear me or not. This is interesting because I'm researching becoming a general so that I can be my own general contractor and purchase investment properties.
What state are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York.
New York, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, because I'm not exactly sure of the requirements. I've read so many different things. I was wondering, are you a general contractor? I only caught part of the show.
Okay. Let me answer two questions. The first question from caller 651, to get a little bit better understanding about what you're asking about is you want to learn how to read blueprints, okay? And there's a basic category in learning about blueprints, and what you have to do is to self-teach yourself, first of all. I'm an estimator, so blueprints and all that is second nature to me. So there are several books that you can go and get, and let me give you a name of a publisher that produces a print reading book. It's called Building Trades Print Reading Part 1. It is by Elmer W. Sundberg, Sunberg, and Thomas E. Proctor. It is an AIP publication that that we used in our apprenticeship days, and it is a good book. It actually gives you all two stages. The first part is the introduction to blueprint reading, which you will learn the symbols. You'll learn all your all of the pertinent information about the floor plans and what they mean, and then you move yourself gradually into the second phase of that. So did you get that? Elmer Sundberg, Thomas E. Proctor.
Okay.
Okay. And that's
okay.
That's Building Trades, Print Reading Part 1 and 2.
Okay.
And they are located out of Illinois, I believe. And if you Google the book, I believe it would come up at the Library of Congress as well, and that should get you started. You have to become self-taught before you get out there and decide that you want to just, like Mr. Porter said, you know, you find out what you need, all that you can on your own, and I think you need to, you know, if anything, you have to. You know, put yourself in a position to want to learn on your own first, and then after you've gotten a little more self information on your own, then I suggest you go to a trade school. We offer blueprint reading because we do a little bit more 21st century things, but that should answer your question. And the caller from New York, there is a organization called Professional Women in Construction. That group has a very sound group for women that want to be involved in the construction industry. New York is a union town, and so depending on your background, what is your background in construction right now?
Right now I'm just trying to become a general contractor.
Do you have any background in construction?
No, actually, I don't.
Okay. See, this is
like I said. This is
Let me explain something to you. Being a general contractor is easy because in one sense, but you want to define what part of general contracting you want to be. If you're in New York, it's best to your ability to go and get involved with the professional women construction group that's there, and they host a series of seminars to learn about the construction industry altogether. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Then once you get to learn about the industry, you can choose into specialty specialty groups. There's three individuals on here. One company does concrete work, and then another company does safety. And then we have another caller on here that actually is a second-generation contractor from out of Minnesota on here as well. So I suggest that you Google women in the professional women in construction. That's right there in New York. They're hosting a series of events right now. And then depending on what you want to do, if you want to do interior finishes, if you want to be a general contractor, it takes a lot. It takes years of experience to be a general contractor. So I think you should start off with a sub-trade. What do you like doing the most? Do you like painting? Do you like drywall? Do you like doing carpet? Do you like interior finishing? What do you like?
Actually, I'm pretty handy with tools. So I wouldn't mind doing painting and drywalling.
Okay. Well, then what I would suggest is we have an agreement that's been worked out with the carpenters local. You call the carpenters local, and you tell them that you were part of the talk show with the National Coalition in Georgia, okay? You tell them that the coalition is working with Mr. Gibbs, who was on last week, and they have an open-door policy to come in, and you want to talk to them about getting in one of their programs, okay?
Okay.
All right. And what's your name?
Okay. My name is Laura.
Okay, Laura. Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Caller from 650-233-7811. I know this caller. Been knowing her for a while. Hello? Caller from 651?
Yes.
Okay. You have anything to add to that?
The general information that you gave me about blueprinting was very helpful, and I will actually go and look up the information that you've given to me as far as blueprinting, because what I want to do is basic blueprinting in my home to do reconstruction as far as the cabinets and the flooring in my home.
Okay.
And I know at some degree I have to know how to read a blueprint in order to do the basics. At least I think I do. I was saying that I know you have to know some of the basics in order to, you know about what you need to do as far as the construction. I want to really tear down the cabinets and reface the cabinets that are currently there, and I want to take up the flooring in my house and redo the flooring that's in my house. So I know at some point I'm going to have to learn how to do blueprint before I attempt to do so.
Well, not really. You don't. I mean, Home Depot offers a lot of classes for homeowners who want to do their own work. They have a lot of classes for that. And let me give you a word to the wise. If any time you work with anybody, if you decide to try to contract with anybody, always try to contract with a person that has a good background and check them out so that you won't have any problems, because we've had a lot of calls that came in from a lot of homeowners who have lost, you know, 40 and 50 and hundreds of thousands of dollars from shiesty contractors. So you are very right by going by and assessing your own information. You don't need to learn blueprint reading to do work in your own home unless you want to do something different. But I do suggest that you deal with the Home Depot, because they actually have classes on that level to make you better understand that. Go ahead, caller.
Kalima.
Yes.
Hey, I think what she's asking is more blueprint reading, is more of estimating to make sure that the contractor is giving her a fair estimate on projects
Okay.
that she said, you know, wants to do, like cabinets and knowing how much the accounting would cost and how much an installment, materials, labor, mail, whatever.
Right.
I think that's what she's leading to that part.
Oh, is that right? Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
Okay, so you are looking to get estimates. Well, let me share this much with you. We can talk about that a little bit further. We really want to stay on focus with the social capital networks that we're talking about. And this is good that you have called in and asked about this, because this type of the information that we're trying to give you is pertinent to you not making the same mistakes that a lot of other homeowners have done. And just to kind of suggest that you take several bids from different contractors, and you take your time and do it. You get 5 bids or 6 bids, and then you can look at what they have on the proposal, and you can make a wise decision about who is gouging, who is not. I think Lamont Porter is a estimator as well, and I think he would agree with me that you have to be cautious as even a homeowner, even as a business owner. We sub out work all the time, so you have to just do what other that the industry tells you to do, and that's just take on a lot of bids from different folks who are networking in that category. Mr. Porter.
Yeah.
Okay. When we were talking about the barriers in which the minorities in Ohio face when it came to the social capital networks, when we were talking to, I guess, the folks from the commission, we established with them that that one of the things that the minority contractors don't have in Ohio is a system of identifying who else outside their mentors that can assist them. And I think the coalition has tried to evade to them a lot of our mission is to create these social capital networks that internally turns into a financial situation for you all. And I don't understand why they're not getting that, Mr. Porter. I don't understand why it's okay that one group of individuals look at their network as being a great magnet for them, but when we try to put something together as a network, they look down on that and they want to. Today we were asked about all of our credentials, and we're presenting to the Ohio folks a program to help minorities become qualified on projects, and when they become qualified on projects, we actually have some additional assistance in providing them as their own project. So why do you feel that is a one of the things that they don't want to look at? They accept it when they have a lot of networking meetings, but when we want to have networking things that help us, any kind of programs, they don't look at that as being something that is measured. Why is that so up in Ohio? Because in Georgia, we meet a lot. are meeting.
I must say that going to the reference of that conference call you had today, they really are a sharpened pencil, if you know what I mean. They really want to make sure they're dealing with the best that they can deal with. That is one of the things that attracted me to them, that the Commission on Economic Inclusion Greater Cleveland Partnership wasn't just another organization. So that's why I didn't mind serving on their board and trying to make a difference where contractors got the help that they need. That is why I wanted you to even call them and talk to them, because these are the things that the contractors need. If you don't cater, if you're going to cater to the contractors' needs, cater to the contractors' needs. Don't tell me that you're feeding the baby and you ain't feeding the baby. Listen, the baby needs milk, then it'll grow to meat, and the contractor needs the small contract support so that he will go to the next level. They are getting paid, or they are getting funds to do this thing, and so it makes a great effort to put a whole bunch together and get a whole bunch of different people involved. And so I think that they just really want to know who they're involved with. The deal with it being so slow and why we have to go through so many turns, that is, I would say, just something that we're going to have a problem with. We'll be voting here in a minute, and there was a time when we weren't able to vote as African Americans. So times are changing. true, and it's time for a change. But I want to make sure you understand that it is us being persistent. It is people like the Coalition. It is people like the Greater Cleveland Partnership. They have to come together and understand that we're almost equals, but together we can help the minority contractors get, you know, bonding from the National Bonding Association. That doesn't cost them as much as it costs the average prime contractor. These programs are out here. We have to pass it on. We have to push it. You know, we don't go to Greater Cleveland Partnership as a coalition and say, we just want to sell this to you. We want to sell it to you so that we can partner with the next city and the next city and the next city, and then you can come with us and go to the next city. It's all about we need each other. So, you know, and anything you do today is quite costly. You go to the gas station and it costs you, you know, $5 to get to the gas station. So it's going to be a costly thing. To the young lady who wanted to do her own kitchen, that is a great thing, because could you imagine the money she'll save versus hiring a general contractor?
Yeah, absolutely.
And those are the things that the coalition bring to individuals.
So what I'm hearing you say is that the obstacles are, and I'm reading something from the Center for Research. One of the national obstacles is that the primary focus is government and corporate procurement. And when I say that, when you say that there are a lot of people that are looking into the Minority Contractors Association and identifying some of the things that they would say, oh, you know, well, they just want to have things given to them. But you're saying to us that give us an opportunity so that we will stop being handicapped on our own. And let me share something with you about being handicapped. In Georgia, it's a different life of individual contractors here. And I understand that, I guess, more so than ever. We do meet a lot, and we network quite a bit. And I think because of that network, you can see the difference in the qualified contractors here in Georgia opposed to any place else in the country. So I want to ask Nicole a question. Nicole, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. On the meetings that you attend, I think we talked about something about a couple months ago, and you wanted people to show up for attendance to they wanted to take all the contracts and glump them into one big whole contract.
Yeah, so they call it bundling. Yeah.
That's AT&T, isn't it? They call it bundling. I think this is a good example. What happened with that situation? Could you kind of tell everybody why did they do that, or what the outcome was, or, you know, kind of elaborate on what I'm talking about, basically?
Well, first of all, there was originally about 76 rehab contracts to change the entire infrastructure here in the city of Atlanta with the sewer rehab here, because they have some of the worst sewers in the country. And like I said, originally there were 76 projects that were supposed to be released up until 2010. In midstream, a group of prime contractors got together and said, hey, we got this wonderful idea. Instead of making these contracts $3 million, $8 million, you know, small enough where, you know, the minority companies who have been in Atlanta for a long time could bid them and could bond those jobs and had the bonding capacity. They said, we're going to make them bigger because it would be more advantageous for the city for them to, you know, be like $130 million, making them, in other words, trying to alleviate and eliminate the little guy. And so the city of Atlanta, of course, their OCC department, which is the Office of Contract Compliance, they were not in agreement with that. So they have about 1,200 registered minority contractors in the city of Atlanta. And so they let as many of them know about what was happening so that we could come and voice our opinion on, you know, doing that and pretty much eliminating jobs, because right now the way they have it structured, there's more opportunities. When there's about 76 jobs out there, they're smaller. They can be managed a whole lot better. And so I don't think they were expecting any small companies to show up and to voice their opinion. They had such an outburst of people that a veto went up, and they had everybody vote and say whether they were against it or for it. And, of course, our votes went, you know, they were counted heavily at that meeting. And I was real proud that we did show up to show that we knew what they were trying to do. It was obvious. It wasn't even blatant anymore. You know, it was blatant. I'm sorry. It wasn't even subtle. And I was happy that I was a part of that, because I think they are now going back to the smaller jobs. They're still not small enough. We're trying to get them to be about, for you know, 3 million instead of 8 million. But at least we made some headway in stopping them from totally eliminating small prime contractors totally out of the game.
Well, I think that just to put in and promote what the National Coalition does to the rest of our listeners is that our mission exists to focus on accelerating the growth for women of color in contracting and construction industry from startup to existing businesses by advocacy, and that's what the Office of Contract Compliance is, but that's just for the city of Atlanta. We are a voice for everyone throughout the United States on an advocacy level, and if anyone has a problem, and I don't care how small it is, we are here to answer questions and to provide the services. We also are trying to build social capital networks. We have callers in from 7 different states, and I'm sure they're going to call a few people. The young lady that signed off from the out of the chat room said this was great information. She's excited about that. And one thing that also we do is succession planning and education and sustainability strategies, and we provide technical assistance. And so we feel that we are the organization that supports and advocates for women of color and for minorities altogether. However, we know that strategically there are more women businesses that are opening up quicker, but they're closing even faster because there are not social networks like this that exist. We've been having some problems with some of the couple of the states that have existing programs, like the Urban League, the Akron Urban League. That's a program that has been apart for 30 years, and they have Afro Americans who head that, and the decision makers, we call them the gatekeeper. And this is why I like Blog Talk Radio. We got people like Michael Davis, who's the director of the Minority Contractors program that's there, that has pretty much kind of looked at our program, which is very, very, very well put together, so that it can help the inner circle of the contractors and support them on the levels that they need. The same programs that you see in Atlanta, they have blueprint reading. They have project management. The classes that they teach are not giving you an opportunity to be able to advocate for better or a gradual change. Those changes will not come until we, as a group of people, and that's everybody. You know, we're in a recession, and nobody wants to say it, right? We're in a recession in the construction industry. We're in a recession in the In all industries. We have layoffs and we have projects that's been canceled. We've bidded projects and they've canceled them wholeheartedly until next year or whenever the funding comes up. And because we don't have folks who are advocating and saying, we know what you're doing, you're keeping your job and you're making sure that we can't feed our families. Because those folks at the Urban League, at the Akron Urban League, they're going to continue to feed their families. I've sent them duplicate messages. We have Mr. Porter on that has advocated to have type of changes for the contractors there. So my thing is, in Atlanta, these people came together, and they became one voice. I ask folks who are listening in that we can become one voice because we make up $21 trillion. Women of color businesses make up $21 trillion of the economy in this whole world. 21 trillion. We have a voice, but we need to collectively stop looking at what the mainstream is doing and do things for ourselves. This circle and this forum was set up specifically for us, as one of the persons that said that we have to help ourselves. I wanted to also mention a couple of folks that have been a part of the coalition in some in all sorts of recent turmoils that we've been through. We wanted to mention that when you have a group of people, black, white, Chinese, whatever, and they say that change has to come, you know, we as a group have to work together. We have a support level where we have Afro-Americans, we have Asians, we have Hispanics. You know, we've been working with Leonardo Duque from the Hispanic Contractors Association, and he has brought up aboard a host of information. He's a professor and has a PhD out of South America. So we want to thank him for bringing in the coalition with a lot of light. Also want to take this call from we got somebody dropped off here. Got a question for you, Mr. Porter.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, you know, I kind of spoke what I felt was the truth in terms of the Urban League, and I don't want to bash them any further. And you know, they know who they know what they're doing, and they are, and they would rather be the gatekeepers and hold a program, funds, and not allow contractors to grow. There's no voice in Akron to say anything about it, So hopefully. We are voicing our opinion, and we're going to play this segment to the national offices and find out why a select few people make decisions for so many that affect so many.
I just want to say, it's just like you can get a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink it. And so sometimes people don't want to know where the water is, and sometimes they just don't know. And I feel like that you need to go to them once again. I've waited for probably all day for a call. I think I made a call 2 days ago. Haven't got a return phone call. Sometimes people are just concerned about themselves, and then there's nothing we can do. Here in Akron, just so happens.
651-387-8861.
Go ahead.
We have a problem because we're not getting everything we need as minority contractors. I feel like I want to make sure that Mr. Davis knows that, we have to do something or else the contractors are not going to go any further. And there's ample money and funds here to help contractors, but the estimating software that the contractors could be using so that they could be better estimators, be more exact, not leave money off, on the table and not know that there's a, they're supposed to supply the port-a-johns or they're supposed to have they need the software that will help them. If the Urban League and the MCAP and the city of the state of Ohio don't want to supply, well, okay, we'll find another way. But what it's going to take, Ms. Ali, is that we're going to have to put something together like the coalition and go to every city and state and have a place for minorities to get help and then go and get the minority MCAP program from each state and put it in the Women's Coalition because it has to be there, and it's not something that you can just trust. You don't trust the lawn guy with open heart surgery. Okay?
Yeah.
That's how serious it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want a surgeon that went to Yale or went to a prestigious school that knows what he's doing. You want the lawn guy to cut the lawn, and if he don't show up, it's okay. But if he don't show up for the open heart surgery, it could be detrimental. I want you to know that's how serious it is when these people have these programs and don't know what they're doing. It doesn't cost their reputation only. It costs the contractors. It costs economic growth. It costs the disadvantaged business to be made disadvantaged and almost put in jail saying, well, I can't come out as a contractor because I'm not, the services are being paid for, but they're not really here because someone doesn't know what their job is. I'm just being honest, okay?
that's why I appreciate for the last 5 months that you've given us all the information that we need in order to put this program together for Ohio, and I believe that we're going to do really well with the commission. Mrs. Breedwell has been very, very gracious to allow us to come back to the table again and be advised, I guess, through her individuals. So I understand that Cleveland's a bigger city. The Akron, Ohio scenario is very, very mind-boggling to me. I want to tell everybody that that's still listening and in the chat rooms here, when you have a government or an entity, an element of any sort that has fiscal responsibilities, right, and they do not understand the needs of those participants, they should find somebody to help govern those needs jointly. And I think that is where our problem is. Our problem is we do not have the problems that you all have in Atlanta. Just same thing that Nicole said, is that when the word got out that this was happening, and people showed up. What we're trying to do is put the word out city by city. We're not going to pick on just Ohio, but we're going to pick on Minnesota. We're going to pick on Illinois. We're going to pick on Kentucky. We're going to talk to the folks in New Orleans to find out why there's no stimulus package for women of color that should be out. The coalition has a voice, it doesn't take funds from anyone, so no one can shut us down or shut us up. We have proven over the years that we will seek out the rest of individuals who think like us and come together. And I'm very glad that everybody that's still online is with us. We still have our callers from 651, caller from 952. We have a 330 caller on here, and our 770. So that gives us a good stretch of information. I'd like to
chime in. I'm the caller from 952. I just wanted to piggyback to Mr. Porter's comments. I wanted to say thank you for what you stated earlier again about the importance of really the various organizations working together. I don't really represent any particular organization, but I became really fascinated with what the coalition is doing because I know so many people that are in construction or have gifts, you know, in their hands, but they're male. And that's not the issue, that they're male, but what I liked about Mr. Porter's comments or earlier is about how we as a people need to really network and work better together, you know, no matter what organization you're in and no matter what the focus is, there may be similarities, but really working together to help people understand what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish. So, Mr. Porter, if you're still on the line, I just wanted to thank you for that because so many times we say, well, we got to work together, we got to do this, we have to do that. But people are they're really excited and get attracted to the movement when they actually see it in action. For example, if I go to a workshop or to like we have the Minneapolis Convention Center here, and if I see various coalitions, they are working together and explaining what they do and what they have to offer. People will come. They would support that. They would bring their friends, that kind of thing. It's more than just hearing it on the radio and seeing it on the internet, which is really useful too. But I remember growing up when I was in school, even throughout high school and even college sometimes, how I would see people who represent various coalitions, especially people of color, actually come out to the campuses, to the school.
schools, to the various communities, and actually share this kind of information, and even talk to the people in the community that have questions, like the caller had about blueprinting, those kind of things. I think technology, the technological infrastructure, I think people have become so dependent on the internet, networking via the computer. I really think as a people we need to come back to the face-to-face, the person-to-person interaction, and really bring people together. Because people need that, and I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there, but I just wanted to, I'm just really fascinated with all the comments and everything that's being brought to the table. I just agree with you, Mr. Porter, so much. We really do need to work together more as a people, no matter what the faults are or what the issues are. But when people see that we're networking in a very positive light, it really does things. So I hope that makes sense.
It does. And you basically hit on one of the points that we talked about, and the basis of this show is to have an open forum, the discussion on the growth of women of color and the growth of our community altogether. I mean, we have one of the most outstanding ways of getting information on negative things to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost to my amazement that we can't bring the positive information across to each other faster. And one thing that I have always loved about Giovanna Constructors is that from the very first day, there was nothing that we could offer her at the time. But I've been persistent over a past year, so I guess I've grown on her. But she has been very kind enough to share instant information with us. The way we network, if we see something that we're not consciously bidding right now or anything, but when we see projects, Nicole will send me something right away, say, hey, this is bidding, girl, you need to get here or you need to be here. And that's the premises of the overall coalition. I have a caller from 330. Caller from 330. Hello, caller from 330-338.
I'm listening.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, and yourself?
Wonderful. Where are you calling from?
Ohio.
Okay, all right. And you're just calling in for listening?
That's all.
Okay, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay. Nicole, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I guess I was just jokingly speaking about the relationship in which we forged over the past year when we first met at the some kind of networking function, and we had a booth, and we were trying to talk to folks about the general contractor's license, and we talked about not finding a need for it at that time, but we see now that we need to be prepared for anything, because I'm not sure why people do what they do, but we had Mr. Gibbs on from the Carpenters Local last week, and we talked about corporate social responsibilities. And we had Kerline for Concept on, and she gave good definition about what that meant. And I think your company has, in my opinion, shown a very strong means of conducting yourself with the corporate social responsibilities in the way that you guys operate. Your husband was on last week, and, you guys have never had a problem elevating anybody, clearly, to walk with you all or be a competitor with you all. That's the way the world's supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to be in terms of just opening ourselves up to folks and a willingness to act ahead of different things prior to, anybody doing anything else. I got a caller from 678. Caller from 678. 764?
Yeah, that's me, Leonardo Duque.
Okay, we got Leonardo on, you guys.
Yeah, I used my cell phone. The other phone was not able to connect.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, then. It took us
okay.
a minute, but we got
But I have been listening the whole time.
Okay, I'd like for you to tell everybody about you and your background and what your beliefs is in terms of we were talking about Human Capital Network and what that does in the education level for that.
Okay.
Mr. Duque?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to talk about that part that we were talking about the other day about the social human capital?
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Well, so what is your thinking about that?
Okay, can you talk right now?
Yeah, your comment. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, yes, I have been listening to the whole program, and I like it very much. I just wanted to share with all of you that I do believe that there is a huge potential in every human being, and including, of course, all women from any color, yes. And I also, we could excel in empowering women to solve issues, and any kind of issues, and get together collectively or even individually and try to solve them. And also, I think that another key of this whole program could be the empowerment of women in developing the capacity of others to address issues, to do better the job, to excel in every aspect of human being. So I am really glad to be with all of you, and I like that you are really understanding what this coalition is about. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, sir. I wanted to take a moment and share with some of our listening audiences from a standpoint of what the coalition has done, and I'm not taking credit for everybody sparking up organizations, but we have a one-year anniversary networking mixer on November 11th. It's the Northeast Stone Mountain Lithonia Leads Group, and they're inviting you all to the Steamhouse Diner, at 7245 Rockbridge Road, Suite 1900 in Lithonia, Georgia. Their group is a networking group. It's a mixer, and I was able to meet some doctors and insurance companies at that time. And I hope that everybody that that's in the area or that might be coming in to visit to come to this. It's between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. November 11th. It's their first anniversary. Dr. Albany Hornbucker is a part of our coalition health and wellness person that we're creating a health and wellness component for the coalition and its members. So I wanted all you all to take some time out and put that in your calendars and act accordingly to that. And also, I wanted to share with you all a story of what Social Capital Network has done personally for me. And it may not mean a lot to a lot of people, but I said I would share this. Last year, I went and invested into a vehicle that my sister told me not to buy, but I did anyway. And 3 days later, the motor went out. It was a Saab. And I didn't have a warranty on it or anything. And what took place was, I started calling around town, and I called a company called S&J Automotive, and it was a woman that had been in business for 30 years. And talking with her and sharing with her, you know, why I felt that I'm being cursed by this purchase, because, you know, I didn't get it checked out and anything like that. But when the whole situation happened, when you put, you know, over $7,000-$8,000 into a car, and it stops working 3 days later, you become devastated. But that's the story when that comes up. But when talking with her, her daughter is being critiqued to run the business. She's 26 years old, and it's they're located at 858 Joseph E. Laurie Boulevard, and they have been in that community for 30 years. And in that 30 years, they have made all sorts of contacts with all sorts of people of all walks of life, and they have shared with me not just the fact that they came and put my motor in half the price of what the Jim Ellis was talking about putting in, but we have forged such a wonderful relationship that I've had many opportunities that I had to just need the advice of another seasoned businesswoman. Ms. Teresa and her husband have been like a second family to me, and they are of the Caucasian persuasion, but they have always opened themselves up to me, and she said to me that the reason why I'm doing this for you, Karima, is because I believe in you. I believe in you because I want my daughter to be able to reach out and have somebody work with her when I decide to retire. So I just wanted to share that they're located at 858 Joseph E. Laurie Boulevard, Northeast, and they service nothing but sobs, and they are very, very good folks. And if you do have a sob, I suggest you all go to them first. So I wanted to plug that, and I said I would do that because when you find good people, and everybody's struggling at this time, you want to make sure that everybody's inclusive. We have about 19 minutes left on this show, and a lot of people don't realize it goes really quick. We see that I want to get the comment from the executive director of the coalition, Janora Boyens. She sits around in a – are you still there, caller?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any comments?
No, I don't have any comments at all.
Good, okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. To share with you a little bit about our closing of the conversation on the components that we were talking about. I know we strayed away from social and human capital. We wanted to make sure that Mr. Porter had some closing comments. Mr. Porter?
Yes, I've enjoyed the show tremendously. I just want to say just like you went to talk to about the people that worked on your car, that's the type of togetherness we have in order to make this thing move. It's not going to move by itself. And so the coalition, I'm looking for the coalition for my kids to use the coalition and make sure that there's a way for other small contractors to get into this thing and get good help that the state is provided. And so that's the only closing comment I have. I was glad that I had time to listen in today. We've been working some long hours trying to get away from this snow, which is starting to snow in Ohio just a little bit. But I want you to focus on the goals of your life and make sure that you're trying to help somebody. That is something that a good CEO, as long as a CEO is trying to help somebody or create a job, then that is a good CEO, and that's my closing remark.
Okay. I also wanted to go into one last thing. We have a few minutes left. I appreciate the callers who have came aboard And I appreciate Mr. Dookie coming aboard and speaking about his understanding of the women of color and women in general actually being a part of the bigger picture. Because the one thing I want everybody to understand is that without a foundation, there has been a trickle-down effect in our communities. And basically, in thinking forward, when you talk about financial capital, we have to support our own communities. And the only way that we can do that is that we need to do create continuous networks among each other and reach out, because the community is not just Atlanta, Georgia. As the caller said from 952, you know, we're in a global economy, economy now, and you know, you could be talking with other people from all over the world and basically forge relationships and do projects throughout the whole country. I ran across a young lady that owns her own magazine. It's called Diversity Woman, and she's located right in North Carolina, and yet she's having workshops and seminars throughout the whole United States, because we live in a global market. And when we talk about social change, social justice, human capital networks and financial capital network, let me just sum this up in these next few minutes. When you know somebody that can, let's say ironically, pour concrete in that's located in Ohio, and the project could be located in Michigan. Ohio is closer. Michigan is closer for Ohio. And when you bid work, you bid work all over the country. If you know your business, and you can always pick up the phone and call, you know, 330-703-0968, which is Porter Cement's corporate number, and say, hey, Mr. Porter, I got a project I want to try to do with you. Or you can call 651-233-7811 and say, hey, Ms. Bourne, we have a project in Minnesota that we want to try to do with you, because we know you're there. What we're trying to do is bring in a understanding that these networks work for everybody else except for us. The rule of thumb is that the large companies and corporations get preferential treatment by organizations that they purport to help small businesses, making it difficult for women business of colors to trust people in these organizations. So in other words, you got the bigger companies, the bigger organizations who pretend to be, a part of the solution when they're part of the problem. We must examine these things. And we must examine ourselves in a bigger portal than where we are. And the industry is not going to get any better until we can stop. It's good to go into a lot of networking meetings, and we as colored folks meet all the time, but nothing gets resolved because there's no network in the industry, because we can meet all together. But if you don't know the ABC companies of the world, the Brett Fortunes from ABC, the AGC contractors, and become a part of different things, or the National Coalition, bringing in different guest speakers each week to kind of give you, each individual that's still here with us listening, an opportunity to reach across the table and have opportunities with those individuals. They have these kind of meetings sometimes. You know, you have the city says we're going to have contractors who come out and they want to get to know you. You don't get to know people in one meeting. You have to follow up with those individuals and bring a core understanding about who you are, as Nicole from Giovanna Constructors has shared with us, and I appreciate her coming on as well. She's dropped off the call. And caller from 952, do you have any other comments?
Not right now. I'm just still learning and just really fascinated with all the other comments. Well, there is one thing that came to mind. Is the caller that had the blueprinting question still on the phone?
No, they're in the chat room right now.
Oh, okay.
They hear you.
Yeah, well, and one thing that came to my mind just now is that a lot of people are not always comfortable asking the question, where can I go or what can I do to learn how to do this, because they feel embarrassed or uncomfortable or don't want to look, you know, stupid or whatever. And I think what is so key is for us as a people also is to not feel afraid to say, you know, I really need to learn how to do this. I need to get more information, and not being afraid to just ask the question. Sometimes we can go and research different things from the library or the internet, but oftentimes, depending on the complexity of the issue, we need to actually talk to someone. So there's two things. One, we have to know, okay, when we dig for our information, you know, where do we get it from? And then as we come across names, okay, who are these people, and who can, and where are they? And then just feeling brave enough to contact that person and say, you know, I want to know more about this. Just really having that feeling that it's okay to pick up the phone or you know, schedule an appointment with that person and ask those questions. I'm a people person. Mm-hmm. I like to sit in front of somebody and get the information that I need. I could go on and on and on, but I just think that's really important for us is as we're networking together and talking, just feeling comfortable enough to ask the questions or say what you need and not feel afraid of rejection or feeling like, oh, it's the person's going to put them down.
Yeah, we get that a lot. We get that a lot in terms of, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you have a lot of knowledge. And you know, I want to ask you questions, and I was born into this business, so I guess that's why my knowledge base. But we were talking about that with Mr. Dookie, that it's about, you know, a lot of people feel that they're disempowered when they approach people, and they're in a certain position, they're in a certain level. You have contractors who make $10-20 million in contract sales a year, but they don't understand the operating functions of their company. They don't understand the risk, the workflow of their company. They've made it successfully based on their knowledge, and they don't want to learn anything else. They want to answer that one. I have that problem right now in Ohio. I keep talking about Ohio, but they just want to learn estimating. But you can't finish a project unless you know the whole the closeout part of the project, and how to do your schedule values and all these different processes. And this is some of the things that we are trying to say. We, you know, when you talk to people about the foundation of what they're trying to accomplish. Like I was telling a young lady from New York, and, you know, she said, thank you, NCWC, for your information. Very helpful. She signed off into the chat room, and we have a couple people on that saying that they're just listening. We've been very blessed to be able to have a forum, and I see that Nicole is on, and I wanted her to have some closing remarks. Nicole?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think when you stop feeling like you can't learn anymore, you do stop growing, because I know with me personally, I try to, any opportunity I get to go on my job site, any opportunity I get to sit down at the feet of, you know, men and women who's been in this business for years, even just in their lessons learned, you know, or mistakes that they make, I think as a company you can grow from that. And so I think that's the beginning for a person who want to start a company, a person who's been in business for a long time, for 20, 30 years, you still can learn. And I mean, and you know, I feel like I try to do that, and I think that that's when you stop growing. It's when you stop feeling like you can learn from other people.
Okay. And, you know what's so key about this whole situation? You know, we get, even after the show, we have our chat room that's still open. And that's when we get a bulk of a lot of information and questions from different people. And a lot of people don't want to ask questions. And I thought it was very cool that the young lady wanted to know about her cabinet, you know, about the cabinets and all. And it takes somebody to do that. It takes somebody to say, hey, you know, nobody's telling me anything. I want to try to see. It seems like this is an informative forum, and we're going to continue to grow. We have a long way to come back from. Women of color in construction, they make up 2%. Now, when my sister and I were in business in the 80s and the 90s as general contractors, I mean we made up that same 2%. The growth of women of color in construction altogether hasn't even changed. We have problems with the industry. We have problems with identifying places that we can get information that's valid. A lot of times they give you bad information on purpose, you know. And I just we're about to sign off here in about 4 minutes, and I just want to share everybody that we can't do this without each other. We can't get into our own corners any longer and say, well, I'm just going to let him do that, or I'm going to let her do that, and then I'm going to run off. And you know, we have a thing in our culture is to just take information, run off, and then try to do it ourselves. And you're not the person that that has 100% of the information. So, you know, we are an information forum, and we hope for everybody to sign in with us on next week. We're here every Wednesday for from 5:30 to 7 o'clock, we're going to be hosting a series of workshops in and around the United States and different states, Ohio again. Kentucky, Minnesota, we are going to be a visible light in the community, and we're hoping to work out an agreement nationally with the Carpenters Local so that our members and our partners can have an open area of training for their employees and have access to that too. So what we're trying to say is that we're giving people access, and please utilize the National Coalition as a tool. And I want to thank everybody for calling in, and I certainly hope everybody have a very blessed and hopefully November 4th, change will come. Hopefully change will come, and hopefully that change will be for the better. I think we've suffered enough, and I think it's time for us to tell God that we get it. I think it's time for them to tell them we get it. So I want to thank everybody, and God bless everybody, and hopefully everybody will tune in next week.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You're doing a great job facilitating. Thank you, too, Mr. Porter.
Welcome.
Thank you, Giovanna Constructors, Mr.
Thank
Duque.
Thank you.
And our head leader there in Minnesota, Ms. Bowens.
Thank you.
That was a nice.
Please, if it's a dream, don't pinch me, baby, could you let me sleep?